Well, good morning. Good morning, church. I normally only get 2 minutes up here, so we're going to do a lot in 30. And I normally hear a little voice come in and say, all right, you're done, step down. But no, you guys are in for a real treat because Jeff does come back next Sunday. And so we'll just continue on. I've actually spent the last 20 days kind of on two separate trips to Colorado. And anybody ever been to Colorado in the summertime? Oh my goodness. I'm driving back and I get to Amarillo and I really do. I start questioning my intelligence. God, why Houston? I mean, it's blazing hot here in humidity. I keep hearing family here, you know, church. All right, that's good. I'll do with that. But yeah, so I went on a backpacking trip. And if you've ever been on a backpacking trip with other people, you know, before the trip, you think you know these people. But you spend 15 hours just in a van ride alone, and you're wondering, wow, are we really going to spend 5 days together out on the trail? And then you get out there, and you know, you ask the nice, polite questions as you're walking along. You know, what's your story? You get to know them a little bit more, and you find out what kind of makes them tick, their passions, their dreams, and you know, then you kind of start learning their behavior patterns after a while. And by the fifth day, you know their bathroom patterns, and You just learn a lot of things about somebody on a trip like that that maybe you never needed to know in the first place, but that you do. You think you know of them, and then you know, you realize that at the end you've had some intimate moments together that you actually do know them by the end of it, and that implores the question this morning. You know, do we know of God, but can we really have those intimate moments where we really know God? Can we go from knowing of him and about him to knowing the creator of our souls, of our universe, and of us? And so that's where we're gonna dive in today. And I figured, you know, no better person to look at. A guy who knew God, didn't know just of him, but knew him. The Bible says that it was a man after his own heart is David. You know, David the shepherd boy, King David. David who wrestled with sin. David, who at times doubted God in his life. And we're going to look at that David. And I figured no other place than to go than maybe his most famous passage of Scripture in Psalm 23. And I know some of you are thinking, wow, we're going to tackle Psalm 23 today. And I think that's exactly what Jeff said when I told him I was going to teach on Psalm 23. We kind of caught in passing, and he asked me, and I told him, and he goes, you're going to teach all of it? And I thought, it's only six verses. Little did I know, there's a lot to it, you know, and so there's this mountain that we're going to go, but we're not going to go all the way up and all the way back down. If you will, you know, kind of think we're going to get in this make-believe helicopter, and we're going to go right to the top. If it's six verses, verse four might be the pinnacle and the peak, and then we'll rappel back down. But out of reverence, can we stand and recite this psalm together? Most of you know it, you know, you've memorized it. I confess, I had never memorized it until about a month ago, and then in the first service, I tried to say it, and I totally messed it up. So I'm going to read from the screen as well. So if we all can, we'll say it as a proclamation to the Lord, and just, you know, out of reverence. So verse by verse, here we go. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, and that's exactly our prayer this morning. God, that in this place, that we would dwell closely with you. God, that your spirit would be in this place, that we would sense you. God, that above everything that's going on in our lives, would you draw us so close to you that you just overwhelm us with who you are this morning? God, would you reveal truths about yourself that just blow our minds, that invite us to want more? God, in the chaos of life, I mean, we come to this place seeking you this morning. God, and if anybody came in here this morning with a distraction that, God, they've got to let go of, would you prepare their hearts right now that they would be able to, for the next 45 minutes, put those distractions aside, and would you speak to them? God, we don't want to leave this place unchanged this morning. God, I'm going to leave room for you to work, Holy Spirit. You know I've got a plate full of notes, but God, we want to hear from you, not from me. And God, some of these people are coming in here with maybe from having their worst week. God, you know what they're going through. God, would you restore this church this morning back to yourself? We trust in your word. It's holy, it's right, it's true. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can take a seat. So like I said, we're not going to try to ascend all the way up and come back down. This Psalm 23, I mean, it's great stuff. In fact, I know now what Jeff meant when he asked me if I was going to teach the whole thing, because when I opened up and I got to verse 1, and it said, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I said, we could spend the whole morning there. I mean, that right there, that's the gospel in a nutshell. I mean, isn't it? The good shepherd providing everything we need. I mean, we could just unpack that for hours. But David, at this very first verse, you know, when I read this, you know, and you read it, you know, it says the Lord. You know, Jeff, when he was teaching on Exodus, talked about Lord, all caps, L-O-R-D, is referring to Yahweh, the Holy One, the one and true God. And David is boasting about Yahweh in this first verse. The creator God, the God of the universe, you know, that he's my good shepherd. I mean, he just goes there right off the bat, just boasting in who God is. I don't need anything else if I follow this God. He's everything I need and more. He's my good shepherd. And I got to confess, as I'm replaying this verse and kind of the message in my mind yesterday, I walk outside, and lo and behold, in the street is my neighbor's brand new 2016 Toyota Tundra. And all I could think about was, I do not want that. No, I want that. I definitely want that. I not only want that, I went back and said, I need that. I mean, how can I explain to my wife that I need that? And then I was just, you know, I'm reminded of the scripture. I don't need anything. You know, if the Lord's my shepherd and he really does have all my needs taken care of, you know, as great as that truck is, you know, and I started kind of going through this process. You know what? The sinful nature, the sin, you know, the flesh is going to come out and say, we need this, we need that. But the Lord is my shepherd. I don't need anything if I've got him. And that's David. He's just boasting right now. And so we go on, and remember, we're taking a helicopter up to the top of this mountain. So this is a bird's eye view. And we go on into verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I mean, what do we see right here? David, he's talking about God, isn't he? I mean, he knows of God. And he's talking about God. He's boasting of God. And David knows of God's faithfulness. He knows of God's guiding goodness, of God's restoring character. Think about the ways that David knew of God. Think about David's forefathers, Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and all the Israelites that God led out of Egypt and out of slavery and into the promised land, right? David knew these stories. He couldn't boast in who God was. I mean, God had delivered his people from imminent death and slavery in Egypt. I mean, he knew of God. Now think of some other ways. David knew the scriptures. I mean, just in a couple psalms before this one, in Psalm 19, David says, you know what, Lord, in verse 7, Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. David knew of God's character. He could boast in God's character. You know, we're not that much different from David up to this point. I mean, we're not. We know people in our lives that God has reached out and touched. We know the ways that God has restored people, whether it be from illness. Maybe that person had just been wandering for years and God had restored them back to himself. And we can boast, man, God brought that person back to himself. He can bring that person back. He can bring anybody back. A lot of you have grown up in church all your life. You know the scriptures forwards and backwards, and you can boast in God because of the scriptures. You know, he is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, we can say those back and forth to one another, and all day long we can boast about God in those ways. Randy Youngling on our staff team tells a funny story about this senior pastor who decided one Sunday to get away from the pulpit and go into the children's ministry. And while he was there, he was trying to tell this story, and he's telling these kids that are knee-high to grasshopper, you know what? So there's this character in my story. He's fluffy. He's got a fluffy tail. He's gray, and he cracks nuts with his paws, and he might live in parks. Does anybody know what that is? And, you know, there was just silence amongst the children, and finally this little boy raised his hand. He goes, you know what, Pastor? I know that the answer is God, but it sure does sound like a squirrel. I mean, that's us, right? I mean, we know the answer is God. But man, sometimes we get caught up in knowing about God that we might lose, you know, who is God really? And so we know that David, he also had these life events at an early age, right? I mean, from the time that we were in children's ministry, what are some stories that you were told about David? I mean, David and Goliath, right? I mean, that was the story that all the children's pastors, I mean, you knew that one forwards and backwards. But think about that story from David's perspective, because he lived it. David went to Saul and said, I don't like what that guy's saying about God's people. In fact, you know what? Send me. I can take that guy. And what does Saul say? You're just a boy. What makes you think you can go off and defeat? You know, he's been a warrior for much longer than you've been alive. And what does David say? Does he say, well, I popped some steroids, I'm good to go? No. No, I was pumping the iron. And what does he say? He says, hey, when I'm tending my father's sheep, he goes, and the lion and the bear come, the Lord delivers me from the lion and the bear. This guy's nothing. The Lord's going to deliver me from him too. I mean, already at a young age, David is just oozing confidence in who God is to him. And we see it right there in his life events. And we're not that much different than David. We know of God through our life events, through our mountaintop experiences. But if we stop there, if we stop with just knowing about God, then we really miss the heartbeat of God, don't we? There's a story of this pastor who lives in Hollywood, and his friends, he's got some friends that are actors and actresses, and one of his actor buddies wins an award, and he has this kind of after party at his house. Well, the pastor was invited, and so he goes to this guy's house, and, you know, at some point during the party, you know, he realized, you know, I really like this guy's voice. It's very raspy. It's deep. And he says, I'm about to leave, so I'm going to go ask this guy one favor before I leave. So this pastor walks up to his friend, and he says, you know, congratulations again on your award. About to leave, but would you just do me one favor? Would you recite Psalm 23? I've always wanted to hear you say it. And the actor, kind of taken aback, goes, well, yeah. But under one condition. He goes, after I finish, you have to say it. Pastor says, well, sure, that's fine. So everybody gathers around, and this actor delivers this beautiful rendition of, you know, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And just, you know, in his raspy, deep voice, draws everybody in. And when he's finished, it's just clapping and applauding. And he says, okay, it's your turn, to the pastor. And the pastor steps up before everybody, and he just says, well, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And he goes through, and when he's finished, it's just silence. Well, his actor buddy says, now, friends, how come when I say it, you applaud, but when he says it, you stand in awe? He says, I'll tell you why. Because he knows the shepherd. You see, if we stop with just knowing of God, we miss the heartbeat of God. We've got to know the shepherd. We can recite Psalm 23 and And if we don't know God, it's just a beautiful poem. And I think that's where we see in the next verse. David, he takes it to the next level with God. I mean, he listen to this in verse 4. He says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me." You see that switch there? He goes from saying, you know, he leads me, he guides me, he restores my soul. Then he says, I walk through the craziest places on earth in my life, and God, you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. David gets personal with God. You start to see this one-on-one connection that David's making with God. You're with me. When I think of the presence of the Lord, David's recognizing now the presence of the Lord in his life. And we know that the presence of the Lord in our lives, with the presence of the Lord, there's love, there's joy, there's hope. And I think David's recognizing this perfect love that is now following him everywhere he goes and has been from the moment he was a boy. And he sees it now evermore. God, you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, we know that perfect love, and it says this in 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. In fact, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And David is all of a sudden in the presence of the living God, and he's recognizing this perfect love in his life. What a beautiful place to be. I mean, some of you walked in here from the worst week you've had, and you're saying, God, I need you right now more than ever. I need that perfect love. And you're just so vulnerable. And I would say, stay right there. Stay right there, because God's going to reveal himself. He's going to cover that multitude of pain, that hurt, and he's going to say, I'm with you. I got you. I'm not letting go. I've got two boys, Leo and Chance. Right now, they're 4, going on 5 and 3. I think I got a picture of them. Leo, they're great boys, and I love to tell them that I love them all the time. I mean, if you know me, if I tell them once, I tell them 100 times a day. I mean, just talking about it gets me choked up. I mean, I really want these boys to know that their daddy loves them. But anyways, about a year ago when Leo was 3, the one on the right, we're traveling down the road, and he's in his car seat behind me. And, you know, it's one of those days, just driving along, and I just, you know, look up in the room and I say, I love you, buddy. And he says, I love you, daddy. And I think, now, I wonder if he really knows, what does love mean to him? You know, so I start thinking, in all my finite wisdom, I'm going to be able to explain love to him. So here goes nothing. And so I look up in the rearview mirror without a plan at all, and I say, buddy, what's love mean to you? And I see him in his room, and he points at his shirt. And I'm looking, I'm thinking, okay, what's he got in his shirt? He got something. I said, what are you pointing at, bud? And he says, my heart, daddy. I said, well, that's cute. You know, he's associating his heart with love. And I said, well, what do you mean by that, bud? And he says, well, Jesus lives in my heart. And I'm thinking, he sure does, bud. And, you know, I'm trying not to well up with emotion in front of him, something. I got to change the subject. I said, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And without skipping a beat, he says, a man. Duh. Gonna be a man. I learned two truths that day. One is that God will definitely use a 3-year-old to get my attention. And in all my finite wisdom, I could not have explained love any better. Because isn't that it? When we choose Jesus as our Savior, I mean, where does he immediately come in and dwell? Where does that perfect love exist immediately when we say, God, I believe that you sent your Son on this earth to die for my sins on a cross. I accept him as my Savior. And immediately, the Holy Spirit comes in and we have perfect love. It's available to us 24/7 and on into eternity. And I think that's where David, he begins to see this perfect love relationship. And David was candid with God. I mean, he would openly just talk open with God. You don't have to look but one psalm before Psalm 23 and verse 1 in Psalm 22. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? I mean, David got real with God. I mean, he let him know where he stood. And it was that open dialogue, that open relationship that allowed David to move from knowing of God to knowing to God. Take a look at verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I mean, we still see it here. David, he's not talking about God, and he's talking to the Creator. God, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You know, a little imagery here. You know that David was a shepherd boy. And so he has this imagery of these of this sheep and this shepherd. And if you know a little bit about the shepherd, they would go ahead of the sheep sometimes and prepare a table on these plateaus, and they would rid the weeds out, and they would rid everything that might come in between the sheep just having a peaceful meal and having a place to lie down. And so the shepherd would go along with his staff and his rod, and you got this picture of this shepherd, you know, that is doing this for the sheep. You know, it's this relationship that the shepherd is going to take care of his sheep no matter what. And if you know, you know, that rod was kind of the symbol of authority, the symbol of, you know, protection over the sheep, so that when they were walking up through the valleys to these high plateaus, you know, they would draw close together. In fact, in Philip Keller's book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, he says that it's in the valleys that the shepherd and sheep walk the closest. And there's a reason for that. You know, there's danger looming. And in order to get to those high plateaus of a peaceful grazing, the shepherd's got to protect his sheep. And so he uses his rod, and with the staff, he gently guides them. Just ever so gently will place it on their neck. And ever so gently, he even, you know, will have his favorites that he'll walk closer alongside, and he'll rest his staff on the back of these sheep as they're walking along up to these high plateaus, these tables that the shepherd's prepared for them. And I mean, you could think, you know, those of you that have pets and you walk those pets, you know, and you're walking alongside, don't you have, you know, you feel some protection over them? You adore these pets at times. I mean, that's God's love for us a million times over. That intimate bond that he's cultivating, connecting us, and just reaching out and walking alongside. And so in this verse, David says, you know, you prepare this table in the presence of my enemies. God, in all the constraints of life, you're going before us, and you're making it so that we can find rest with you. And all of a sudden, we have this image of God in this verse as this host. One of my favorite teaching pastors, Dwight Edwards, down at Water's Edge, a church plant from Wood's Edge, he says, if you really want to see God in the Bible, if you really want to see God amongst the scriptures, he says, read first for wonderment, then for wisdom. And I think we really have to read for wonderment right here, because this is the heart of God. Come rest in me, our generous giver. Let me provide for all your needs. Let me take that burden. Here, take my yoke. It's easy. It's light. Spend time right here. Don't go off just yet. I want you to just spend time leaning back in me. And that's where David is right now. He is having this one-on-one relationship, and he's starting to know the Father. You know, even Jesus' disciples would say, God, you know, Jesus, how do you get alone with God? You know, what does it look like when you pray? And what does Jesus say in Matthew 6? You know, he gives us the Lord's Prayer, right? You know, hallowed be thy name. Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. But before that, you know, what does he tell them? Don't be like the hypocrites who stand there, you know, mumbling. He says, what does he say? He says, go into your room and close the door. Get alone with the Father. And I really believe if we're going to go from knowing about God to knowing God, we got to do just that. We got to get alone with the Father. and allow him to just anoint us with his presence. And when we do that, and his spirit anoints us, and it just drips over us, and it covers, you know, just the intricacies of life and the pain and the stress, only then are we allowed just to lay back and go, thank you. Our cup overflows. Our cup overflows with the love of Christ in those very moments. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, David's got so much confidence in who God is now. He's walking with God. You know, David was constantly being harassed by King Saul. And you see that in a few of the Psalms after Psalm 23, where it just says, Lord, there's an army coming after me. All my foes are surrounding me. And what does he say? One thing I ask in Psalm 27. He says, at this moment, he could have said, just strike them dead. He could have said, one thing I ask is just to get rid of them. But he doesn't, does he? He says, Lord, one thing I ask is I just seek you in your dwelling place. Is that I just want to seek you and gaze upon the beauty of your face. Wow, what a place to be. That when the world feels this heavy, we could just say, God, I just seek you. I just seek your face. I just want to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And I know if I do that, then love and mercy and goodness is going to follow me for the rest of my days because you are my shepherd. You lead me. I don't need anything else. God, I just need you. And if I do that, you're going to follow me. And I'm going to go into the house of the Lord forever. And that's all I want. And David just has this kingdom mindset now. He says, I don't see anything else. I just want to dwell in the house of the Lord. Oh, church, what a great place to be. I hope you're there. I hope you can find that quiet place where you just, all you want to do is seek the Lord's face and remember that this life is so short and it's a blink and then we get to spend eternity with God. How lovely, how marvelous. You know, David knew of God's shepherding in his life. He allowed himself to be led by it. You know, David knew of God's abundant, everlasting love. He tasted it. Oh, did he taste it? He relished in it. You know, David knew of God's temple. He sought him in that place. And David knew God's face because he chose to gaze upon it day in, day out. David knew God, and he loved him. You know, like David, you know, how can we move from knowing of God to knowing God? And how can we move there? I think first, it starts like David. You recognize the presence of the living God in your life and in your heart. We recognize the presence of the perfect love that the Creator has for us, that the Savior has for us. We recognize it, and then we cry out with arms wide open in abandonment, God, thank you. God, I need you. God, and first and foremost, I seek your face. Above all else, I seek your face. I choose to gaze upon your face. And we remember the sacrifice of Jesus at Calvary. We remember the cost that it took to prepare that table. To prepare that table in the presence of our enemies came with a cost at Calvary. And we choose Jesus, our good shepherd. I was in the military about 3 years ago. And when I came into the military at the ripe age of 27, if you've ever been in the military and you go straight into basic training, I had only been married for 2 years, maybe a little under 2 years. And I knew of my wife pretty good, or at least I thought I did. We decided that when I was in basic training, that we would write to one another and that we would, you know, do our best to stay in touch. Even though I couldn't see her, we would write letters. And those of you that have ever gone through basic training, you know that your day is planned out for you. I mean, every minute of the day is planned out for you. Literally, if you have a minute to spare, it's a luxury. And so I used to keep these wads of paper in my pocket, and in the few minutes that I would have to spare, I would write these love letters to my wife, and I would just pour out my heart. You know, if I was, you know, how I was feeling that day, if I was in pain, or, you know, if I was just emotionally drained from these 18-year-olds, you know, thinking they knew what was going on in life. But, you know, I can remember pouring out, and she would write letters back to me, these beautiful love letters, and just pouring out her heart about how much she missed me and how much she couldn't wait to see me. And by the end of 4 months, you know, of doing this and taking these little snippets when we could, we got to know each other better than we ever had. And up to this day, I would probably say it's one of the most intimate times, even though I was away with my wife and I couldn't see her, that I've had in my life. And so after 4 months, we had this binder of just letters, hundreds and hundreds of love letters. But you know what? This binder, it wasn't made in a day. You know, it wasn't written in an hour, in even 2 hours. I mean, it was day in and day out, just spending time, pouring our hearts out to one another. And I truly think that the way we know God is not in one setting. It's not in an afternoon. It's not, you know, a day here or a day there, but it's this everyday back and forth, pouring our hearts out, letting him love us, anticipating his love letters that we have right here. You know, God anticipates to hear from us. He loves it. He loves to hear from you. We can go from knowing God, knowing of God, to knowing God in those simple, everyday ways. Let me pray for us and we'll respond to the Lord. Lord, how grateful we are that we have your most intimate love letter in the form of your Bible, in the form of the Word. God, that we can go to your love letters and just, your heart oozes love for us. May God, not just any love, a perfect love. God, we can read about who you are. We can learn about your Savior's love for us. But God, then we can put that down and we can just meditate on it before you. God, thank you that you call us into this love relationship. God, thank you that we can go beyond just knowing of you, but we can know the Creator God. We can know the lovers of our soul. God, I pray for those people in this room right now, God, that whatever you have to do to restore them back to you, would you do it, Lord? God, whatever you have to do to us in this room to allow us to see you in all your glory, in all your love, God, would you do it? God, we stand here humbly, vulnerable before you, asking you to move in our hearts. God, move in our hearts in the ways that you moved in David's life. Let us see all the ways that you've been walking with us. Lord, we trust you are there. And we trust in your perfect love this morning, and we trust it from now on and into eternity. You're our God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.